Good evening to everybody. As we begin Sefer Shmos and Parsha Shmos, we meet up with a young Moshe Rabbeinu. And of course, prior to Moshe Rabbeinu becoming Moshiach Shel Yisrael, the leader of the Jewish people, the savior of the Jewish people, we meet Moshe Rabbeinu as a youngster and as a young man. And amongst the first things we see of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, Parsha Shmos, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayigdal Moshe. Moshe grows old and he gets big. Usually godless for a boy is reaching the age of 13. So we're meeting Moshe Rabbeinu sensibly at age 13. Vayetze el Echav, and he goes out to his brothers. Moshe Rabbeinu is not satisfied being passive in terms of helping his brothers, but adarabba, he is proactive. He leaves, he looks out, vayar b'sivlosam, and he sees their difficulties, their pains, their tribulations, their difficulties. Vayar ish mitzri make ish divri me'echav. And again he sees, notes that the word vayar is used twice in the very same pasuk, and Moshe Rabbeinu notes that a mitzri is beating up, attacking, hitting his brother, a Jew. Moshe recognizes that there's nobody there to save this particular Jew. Moshe Rabbeinu kills this mitzri and buries him in the sand. But that's not the end of the story. On day two, two Jews are fighting. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds, and when he sees these two Jews are fighting, Rashi, quoting the Targum Yonos on the Gemara Nedarim, explains that the Dasan and the Avirim were fighting, and Moshe Rabbeinu responds and looks toward them and says, "Vayomer l'Rasha, lama sakei re'echa? Why are you hitting your brother? Why are you fighting? Two Jews fighting each other. That's not the way to go. That's not appropriate." And the response that Moshe receives to this claim, "Vayomer misamcha ish sar shofet aleinu? Who has placed you as a sar, as a shofet, as a officer over us? Are you going to kill one of us? Kasher haktas amitzri, like you killed the Egyptian?" Vayira Moshe becomes frightened. Vayomer acheinu da'adavar. Moshe recognizes and notices that at this point, word is out that Moshe has killed the mitzri. Paro gets wind and word of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu has killed a mitzri. Vayishma paro sadavar zavi vakish laharges Moshe. And now Paro puts out a death penalty, an order against Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayivrach Moshe b'pnei Paro, and Moshe is forced to run away to leave Mitzrayim. Paro is after him. The Mitzrayim are after him. He's known as a killer. He's wanted. Vayeshev b'eretz Midyan, vayeshev al ha'be'er. Moshe escapes, runs to Eretz Midyan, and he finds himself by the well. Let's skip ahead a few prakim. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yutes. Moshe Rabbeinu is in Midyan, the place of his refuge, where he is safe, and where he's not in the territory, in the space, in the place, and in the environment of a paro, and God appears to Moshe Rabbeinu. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yutes, Vayomer Hashem Moshe in Midyan. God appears to Moshe in Midyan, where he has been for some time hiding and escaping the wrath of Paro. Lech shuv Mitzrayim, God tells Moshe, go return to Mitzrayim. Why? Because all those who are after you, Paro included, those who want you dead, are no longer. They are dead. The people who wanted and who put out a death penalty and a warrant against you are no longer alive. Therefore, you're safe. Go back and return to Egypt. What seems like an innocuous pasuk that has very little halachic import and little philosophical import at the same time turns out to be a relatively important pasuk, certainly in the world of Rav Meir Simcha of Devin, known otherwise as the Meshech Chachma and Or Sameach. And Rav Meir Simcha, in two places, in his commentary on the Meshech Chachma la Torah, Perek Dalet Pasuk Yutes, as well as commentary Or Sameach and Hilchos Rotzeach, Perek Ches Halacha Zayin, notes that that pasuk is teaching us something extraordinary about life saving. Says the Or Sameach, the only reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was given permission by God to return to Mitzrayim is because all the people who wanted him dead are no longer alive. Says the Meshech Chachma, Muchach, Tim Hayu Chaim Amavakshim Es Nafshar. Were the people to have been alive who wanted Moshe Rabbeinu's head? Moshe Rabbeinu would not have been commanded to return to Egypt. Even all the Jewish people were waiting for him as their savior. Moshe Rabbeinu is not required to put himself into peril, into danger's hands, were it not for the fact that the people who wanted him dead were no longer alive. The Meshech Chachma explains that the Jewish people would have been in bondage, would have been in slavery, would have been in difficult circumstances and in a predicament, were it not for the fact that the people who wanted Moshe Rabbeinu dead were not alive. But the fact that they were no longer alive gave Moshe the permissibility and the permission of God, of course, to return to Egypt. Meshech Chachma, both here in his commentary, as well as in his Or Sameach, and Hilchos Rotech, says that he has a raya, a proof to this, from a Mishnah, an explicit Mishnah, Meseches Makos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Zayin, which says that somebody was sent into exile, into an Ir Miklat, a city of refuge, where somebody is sent if they kill Bishogeg accidentally. The halacha is that a person is prohibited to leaving Afilu Yisrael Tzrichilo, even if the Jewish people require that person who's in the city of refuge. Afilu Sarat Tzav Yisrael Ki Yoav Ben Tzriya, even a general, chief of staff, the likes of Yoav Ben Tzriya, Eino Yotze, should not leave. Asher Nas Shana, the Pasuk says, Sham Tehei Viraso, Besham Tehei Misaso. That's where the person should be, that's where he should last. He shouldn't leave because, of course, the Gaul Adam, the family of the person who he killed, accidentally have the permission to kill him, and therefore the Meshech Chachma posits and proves from here that Moshe Rabbeinu was not required to leave Midian and to return to Egypt to put himself in Sakana, in danger's hands, even if he had to save all of the Jewish people. In his Sefer L'Or HaHalacha of Shlomo Yosef Zevin notes this Meshech Chachma, and he points out that without knowledge, Rav Kook, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, argues explicitly on the opinion of Rav Kook. Rav Kook's opinion can be found in this Sefer of Tshuvos called the Mishpat Kohen, and Simanim Kuf Mem Beis through Kuf Mem Dalet, and he says that there is a halacha that teaches that a person is permitted, so much so, to enter dangerous territory, even though he's putting his life in jeopardy and in danger, to save Klal Yisrael. And he explains that there's a fundamental difference between different types of groups. If there's a large percentage of the Jewish people whose lives are at stake or are in jeopardy, even if it's a majority of them, there's no requirement to put oneself in danger's hands and to jeopardize your life to save many people. However, lahatzalas klal Yisrael, writes of Kook, chayav adam limsor asma b'toros horasha u'migdar milsa. There comes a situation that's called a horasha. It's a one-time opportunity. It's a cause for action for the moment. Migdar milsa, Chazal place a fence and teach that when it comes to saving Klal Yisrael, all bets are off and a person is permitted to put his life in jeopardy in Sakana to save Klal Yisrael. Proof, of course, to the opinion of Rav Kook, not like the Or Sameach, would be the Rishonim in Sechah Sanhedrin and Daf Ein Gimel. We're all familiar that Esther placed herself in a very difficult circumstance when she entered the house of Ahasuerus, putting herself in jeopardy and in danger to save the Jewish people at the hand and the bequest of Mordechai. How was she permitted to do that? And Tosos, other Rishonim asked this question, I'm bothered by this question. But the Marik and other Rishonim note, Hatzolas Klal Yisrael, she is permitted, and Adarabba, she is required to put herself in that peril and that predicament and in that jeopardy and in that circumstance in order to save Klal Yisrael. That's the opinion of Rav Kook. That's the opinion of Or Sameach. According to Or Sameach, it's usher. It seems that it's not justified to put yourself in jeopardy to save Klal Yisrael. The proof to that is Moshe Rabbeinu and the Mishnah Meseches Makos. Rav Kook argues and says, yes, but Hora Shah and Migdar Milsa, it would be permitted. There would seem to be an explicit Gemara that would prove the point of Rav Kook. The Gemara says in Meseches Tanis, as well as in Meseches Baba Basra and of Yudah Medez, that the people of Haruge Lut, the city of Lut, there is nobody like them, and Ein Kol Birya Yecholim La'amun B'mechitzasim. There's nobody who could stand and has their place in heaven. Rashi and Baba Basra and of Yudah Medez explained that there were two Jews whose names were Lulinus and Pappas. They were brothers. And the Roman leader, chief, at that point was a man by the name of Turnus Rufus HaRasha. And he ruled the city of Lud, as well as other areas and spaces in place under the Roman emperor and during Roman rule over Israel. And he put out a death edict against the city of Lud as a result of his daughter, who was taken advantage of and who was killed. And Turnus Rufus chashdu et Yisrael, suspected the Jewish people of killing her. And he stood up, Turnus Rufus, and he said, if nobody turns in as to who is the guilty individual and admits the that which he did to my daughter, I will destroy the entire city of Lod. Now, of course, the Jewish people and the Jewish community were not held responsible. They were not responsible for her death. But these two brothers, Luninus and Pappas, stood up and they said and they turned themselves in. V'anu malachem al Yisrael. What do you want from the Jewish people? Anu hargu. We killed your daughter. How could they have done such a thing? How could Turnus Rufus, Lulinus and Pappus, these two brothers, turn to Turnus Rufus and say that they killed the daughter when they didn't do it? Why should they put their life up for jeopardy, and why should they put themselves in that predicament, in that situation? The Sefer Shuas Yaakov in the Yardes and Kufrin Zion, Os Aleph explains, L'tovasam shel Yisrael yachol ha'adam limsor nafsho. For the good of the Jewish people, a person is permitted to put his life at stake and to give up his life in order to save Klal Yisrael. Here you see, says the Shuas Yaakov, that even mitzad hadin, they weren't responsible. They weren't chayev to do such a thing. However, shu'tovas Klal Yisrael yicholim limsor nafsho. They're permitted to give up their life. And they are not held accountable for giving up their lives, explains the Yeshua Yaakov, who had dim darvah hanogela tovas Yisrael. Anytime there's a good for the Jewish community, the Jewish people, that there is the permissibility, the ability to give up your life. Now, this would seem to be a proof text to the opinion of Rav Kook that a person is permitted to give up his life. Let's call it so. However, Rav Kook notes in Simon Kuf Mem Gimel, the case of Turnus Rufus and the two brothers, Lulinus and Pappus, is different. Because there, their life already was in jeopardy. And there, their life was already in despair. And anyway, they're going to be killed. So anytime a person is anyway going to be killed, and their life anyway is in jeopardy, at that point, you're permitted to give up your life in order to save everybody else, because regardless, that person is going to go down. And the Sefer Viharevna, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein and Parshas Vayishlach, quotes this opinion of Rashi, the Gemara Baba Basra, and notes from a case in our lifetime, 9/11, when the fourth plane, which was either headed toward the White House, possibly toward the Capitol, left after World Trade Center 1 was destroyed, World Trade Center 2 was destroyed, and then the Pentagon was hit, the fourth plane, Flight 93, which left San Francisco, headed toward Washington. And when the passengers on the flight noticed that they were part of a greater terrorist attack, they decided to take the plane over. Now, were they permitted to take the plane over? Should they take the plane over? They're putting their life in jeopardy. Should they put their life in jeopardy? Of course, we know the end of the story. They took the plane down, and they gave up their lives in order to save many tens and hundreds and possibly thousands of people in Washington, D.C. Were they permitted to do that? Was the right thing to do? And is the propriety, is there a mitzvah? Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein explains that yikim munose hamatos et mitzvos nikdashti. The people on the plane fulfilled an enormous mitzvah by saving many other people from death's hands because they, regardless, were going to be killed. Kishem shelulinusu papus nergu b'shvil hatzalas am Yisrael, just like Lulinus and Papus were killed to save the Jewish people, so too they, as a result of putting the plane down and taking over the plane and creating the loss of life on their part, in order to save many hundreds and thousands of others, potentially, they did the appropriate and the right thing. So thus far, we have discussed whether or not one is permitted, prohibited, or yachol is in a situation where they should give up his or her life to save many, many tons of people. The opinion of the Or HaSameach is that one is not required, and not only not required, it would seem from the Or HaSameach is that it's not the right thing to do, based upon his proof from the Ir Miklat, where a person is told that he should not leave the Ir Miklat in order to save many people. On the other hand, Rav Kook's opinion is that a person is permitted and should do such a thing in order to save Klal Yisrael b'toras hora asha or b'toras migdar milsa. And of course, the third halach that we learn based upon the Yeshua's Yaakov, if anyway a person is going down, if anyway there are people who are going to be murdered and you're going to be amongst them, in that situation, you could give up your life in order to save others. Let's move from talking about one Jew saving many people's lives in order for a Jew to give up his life or to put himself in a particular predicament or a dangerous situation, which we call safek sakana, possible danger, in order to save the life of another Jew. We're all familiar with the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, lo samod al dam re'echa. A Jew is prohibited from standing idly by watching the death of another Jew. You see somebody drowning. If you see somebody being taken advantage of, robbed, hit, or kidnapped, so we are called upon, lo samad al dam re'echa, do not allow another Jew's life simply to be sucked out, and you simply watch that go by. That's a lav, it's an issur d'oraisa. However, what the Gemara doesn't explicitly discuss is, should I put myself in a difficult situation or a dangerous situation in order to save another Jew? It's true I should save somebody from drowning, but let's say they don't know how to swim. Or let's say the tide is high. Should I jump into the river, to the lake, to the ocean at that point to save another Jew? How do you deal with a suffix zakana? So of course we know the halacha is based upon the Gemara and Sanhedrin that I shouldn't give up my life for somebody else's life. My chazis didama didei sumakfei, dilma dama didach sumakfei. We don't know whose blood is redder than whose. We don't know whose life is more valuable than others. So I don't have to give up my life to save somebody else's life. We paskin chayecha kodmin. My life takes precedence over your life. And if I have the ability to stay alive, I should stay alive. And I don't have to give up my life to save your life. So, but let's say we're not talking about a situation where I don't know how to swim. And anyway, if I go and I'll drown, I'm not going to save you. That you're not required to do. But let's say I'm a decent swimmer. Or let's say I do see a high tide, but I'm not sure if I can save the person or not. Should I put myself into a suffix, a potential danger, in order to save somebody else? If you turn to Choshen Mishpat, Siman Tav Chuf Vav, the source of the Psak in Shulchan Aruch, of Lo Samar Al Dam Re'echa, that the Shulchan Aruch says, if you watch and you stand by watching another Jew being murdered and whose life is being snuffed out and you do nothing about it, over Al Lo Samar, you have transgressed the prohibition of Lo Samar Al Dam Re'echa. However, what the Shulchan Aruch does not explicitly address is whether or not there's a suffix sakana, whether your life is potentially in danger, whether or not I should stand up and do something or not. The Sma, Sefer Me'iras Einayim, on Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat, notes in Os Beis that there's a Hagos Maimonides, a commentary on the Rambam, quoting as well the Keset Mishnah, makes this point that there's a Yerushalmi. The Talmud Yerushalmi says, a person is required to put himself into a suffix sakana to save somebody else's life. The Hevi'a Beis Yosef and Rav Yosef Karo and the Beis Yosef paskin, like the opinion of the Hagos Maimonides, the Keset Mishnah, quoting Yerushalmi, that I should put my life in danger in order to save somebody else's life. The Sma explains the svara, the logic behind this. Mipnei shehalav vaday hu suffix. That person is certainly going to die. The person who's saving the other individual, maybe he'll live, maybe he won't live. So therefore, the halacha is that if the other person is certainly going to die, he's a vaday and I'm a suffix, the suffix should trump the vaday and I should put myself into a dangerous situation in order to save somebody else whose life is absolutely going to be taken away. That's the opinion of the Yerushalmi, quoted by the Hagos Maimonides and the Keset Mishnah. However, the Sma concludes, however, Hishmitu HaMechaber Maram, the Mechaber, Rav Yosef Karo, leaves this halacha of suffix sakana out. The Ramah does not quote the opinion of the Hagos Maimonides, including, says the Sma, that the poskim of the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh, and the Tur also don't bring the opinion of the Hagos Maimonides, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah leave it out. The halacha, the Sma paskins that a person is not required to put himself into a suffix sakana in order to save somebody else's life. That's the opinion of the Sma. The opinion of the Sma is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Chaf Tes. Toward the end, the Mishnah Berurah explicitly posits, like the Sma, that a person is not required to put himself into danger in order to save somebody else's life. However, the Aruch HaShulchan in Choshen Mishpat Siman Tav Chuf Vav, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, also in Choshen Mishpat, both point out that don't take this exactly scientifically, because there's no algorithm to know exactly what the suffix is that the halacha is talking about. What leveled out? Is it 50-50, 60-40, 30-70? Don't be so exacting and didactic, say the Aruch HaShulchan and Shulchan Aruch HaRav, because before you know it, our society will, nobody will ever look out for anybody else. So yes, of course, Chayecha Kodman, your life proceeds. And you should make sure that you're not going to give up your life to save somebody else's life. But if there's a potential of saving somebody, tafik nefashos lahakel, and you should paskin lukul, and you should try to save somebody else's life, do whatever you can in a situation where you feel that there's potential to save somebody else and not risk your own life. Of course, there's no algorithm. When the strong percentages are pushing toward the potential of you not being successful, maybe not. But when you do feel that there is potential to make a saving grace to save another life of a Jew, of course, that should be done. Throughout our history, in Jewish history, of course, the difficult, painful situations that we live in, there's been significant rabbinic literature which speak to the Shaila. Most recently, of course, in the Holocaust, we find numerous tshuvas, tshuvas mimamakim, Shiva the Chalf. If Yaakov both discussed cases and situations and scenarios, whether a Jew was required or permitted, or should a Jew put himself in a situation of potential danger in order to save another Jew. There are tshuvas in the Tzitz Eliezer regarding Israeli soldiers on the front line. When a soldier is shot, are they required to go back across the lines to try to save that soldier, even if they know that crossing the lines is going to put their life at jeopardy? What do you do? Should you do? And of course, the opinion of the Mechaber and the Rama, who don't quote the opinion of the Agos Maimonides, speak to the fact that you do not have to do that. However, as our Hashulchan and Shulchan Aruch Rav notes, a person should consider the other Jew's life and see what can be done. The Eliezer points out in his Tshuvas and Chelik Yigimel Tzim and Kof, when it comes to soldiers on the front line, all bets are off, and our job as Jews is to protect somebody else, and the rule of Chayecha Kodman, my life precedes yours, does not take place. Another contemporary Shaila, where this opinion of entering a Safek Sakana in order to save somebody else's life applies when it comes to organ donation, liver, kidney, doing a blood transfusion, or donating significant amounts of blood. How far is one to go in order to save somebody else's life? Should you put your life in jeopardy, potentially giving a kidney, giving a liver, giving tongues and a significant amount of blood? This question is addressed by almost every contemporary Tshuva Sefer, the Gedolei Aposkim, from Rabbi Yosef to Rav Osner and his Shevet Alevi to Rabbi Waldenberg and his Tzitz Eliezer. And the common denominator amongst most Aposkim is that the question that is at the forefront is how much danger is involved. And that requires careful analysis, speaking to doctors and getting a sense what it means to donate particular organs or significant amounts of blood. And based upon the statistics, the numbers, and the data that we have based upon these procedures which have taken place, that will define and that will be the deciding factor as to whether it's a mitzvah, whether it's asur, or whether it's permissible, or whether it's yachol, one should do such a thing. Of course, we never ask to be placed in a situation of saving somebody else's life when our life will be in circumstances of danger. And of course, we hope and we pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only puts us in situations where we could be of help and of saving to somebody else's life without our lives being put in danger. But on the day-to-day level, of course, we don't bump into these difficult, complicated, often heart-wrenching shilas. But we have to recognize that as Jews, we are not just called upon to be heroic at sea or at the ocean or in the desert or in dangerous predicaments. As Jews, we are called upon to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu daily, day in and day out, Erev, Voker, Tzaharayim, small acts of kindness, small acts of goodness. Those are equivalent to great heroic acts. This that we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu in the Parsha. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu, as we learn throughout Sefer Shmos, reaching the climax in Parsha's Bo, Yisro, and Truman Tetzaveh, Moshe is the individual who takes us out of Mitzrayim, who brings us to Eretz Yisrael, who helps us build the Mishkan, who brings us to Matan Torah, helps us cross the sea, which are awesome, incredible events. But if you read Parsha Shmos carefully, you'll note that Moshe Rabbeinu's whole life begins with small acts of chesed, small acts of kindness. Saving a Jew who's being hurt by another Jew. Saving a Jew who's being hurt by a Mitzri. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu at the Be'er, who we see in Midyan, helping Tzipor, who's unable to successfully feed, to be Dola as a tzon, to give water and nutrients to her sheep. Certainly that is an area that we could emulate. We will not necessarily be the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, the saviors, the leaders of the Jewish people. But that's not our calling alone. Yes, we try and we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to be miracle workers and to help Jews and to save their lives. But at the same time, we have to recognize that part of our calling is acts of kindness, small acts, Dvarim Ketanim, and let us hope and pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves Klal Yisrael, protects Klal Yisrael, and puts us in situations where we can be the vehicle to help and to save other people, but at the same time recognizing and noting that part of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Ben Adam L'Makom, is doing small acts of kindness as well at the same time.